And we take a close look now at the situation with Carl Levan, an assistant professor at American University's School of International Service, and Mojubaolu Okome, a professor of African and Women's Studies at Brooklyn College. And let me start with you first, Professor Okome. What can you tell us about the strong feeling about this inside Nigeria, and who's it aimed at, the president, the military, the system as a whole?
Many parents are distressed because if this happens to somebody's child, it affects everybody who is a parent because of the potential that things can spiral out of control. Besides, it's important for the girls to be united with their families, and this situation has dragged on now into 3 weeks, and there's absolutely no cohesive information. The distress that people are feeling and a lot of the criticisms are directed against the system as a whole.
Well, Carl Levan, let me ask you about that system, just to frame it for people, context here. Sectarian violence going on at the same time as the country still in a transition to democracy.
The transition has been longer and perhaps more painful than I think many Nigerians expected. The country transitioned in May 1999 after almost 17 long years of dictatorship, and there have been several elections since then, most recently in 2011. And the most recent election went pretty well, but the country's also had to overcome some really difficult challenges along the way. Just a few years ago, there was a very serious rebellion in the oil-producing region, the Niger Delta. And now, for the last several years, the country has faced this rebellion in the northeast by this group, Boko Haram.
And how much do what we hear about schisms between north and south, how much, or any of what you just described, how much does that play into the willingness or ability of the government to go and find these girls, to take more action?
Well, the politicians certainly like to portray themselves and like to campaign on a national platform. And I think that's certainly what the Nigerian citizens expect. But the truth is that the historical divide and the cultural divide is one that the country is still grappling with. Nigeria is, in fact, exactly 100 years old this year. And over the last year or two, there were a lot of commentary in the newspapers, for example, about the so-called mistake of 1914. Having said that, I think many Nigerians are very hopeful about the future, and they would like to see their government invest a little bit more in that hope.
Professor Okome, what about the strange juxtaposition we've seen just in the last day, where you have the president saying he's going to do everything possible, and that's after not saying much publicly for a while, and then the first lady reportedly questioning the whole kidnapping? What's going on?
I think the Goodluck Jonathan administration would be able to explain better what's going on. But just judging from what I was able to read in the media, it's if what I'm reading is true, then it's indicative of the fact that the government itself needs to learn that it has to have a cohesive message. It has to have a unified approach. It has to give confidence to the Nigerian people that these missing children are uppermost in its mind and that it's going to do everything in its power to bring them back to their families. Besides, if it's saying that it wants to do this and then people are being arrested because they are raising attention, they're calling attention to the situation, then it's sending a very bad message. And the government needs to do everything that it can to correct this immediately and restore confidence in Nigerian people that their security matters to it and that it's going to truly do everything in its power to bring the girls back to their families.
Well, Carl Levan, this has clearly taken on international dimensions now. So is it affecting how the outside world sees Nigeria, and what, if anything, can the U.S. and other outside nations do at this point?
Well, the U.S. has been providing a modest level of assistance for the last several years now, and there's a lot of concern about the conflict in the Northeast taking on international dimensions. But there's no question that also the lead responsibility lies with the Nigerian government. And I just got off the phone about an hour ago with some of the protest organizers that have been marching through Abuja the last couple of days. And one of the things that they've highlighted is a disconnect of information between the government and the local civil societies in the affected areas. So there's certainly more that the international community could do, but that lead role really needs to come from the Nigerian government. You know, for example, the kind of assistance that the foreign governments could offer on a very practical and level is after the bombing about 2 weeks ago in the area Nyanya, which is just outside of the capital of Abuja, almost immediately after the incident, which was a horrible incident in which dozens of people were killed, the scene was swept up. And it's just a basic principle of not just counterterrorism, but also of crime, that you want to gather the evidence and allow some forensics to take place. And there certainly are internet experts in the international community who I think are positioned to help.
So do you think, Professor Okome, that this is having an effect on how the world sees Nigeria at this point? We noted in our setup that the World Economic Forum's coming in this week. The oil industry, of course, very important internationally. What do you think this incident is doing to the country?
Nigeria is going to have the World Economic Forum meeting. I'm sure there's apprehension about security. There's also reports from the government of Nigeria that it has prepared 5,000 security personnel to give defense to the people. Now, if Nigeria cannot assure its own people that they are well protected and they're secure, and it's putting energies to giving security to the World Economic Forum, which it should do, it needs to really think about the message that it's sending.
All right. Moju Baolu Okome and Carl Levan, thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us on.